streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse, Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, all included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite content in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to The Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for The Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to The Herd. Joy Taylor in for Colin Cowherd. Colin is on a European vacation in Italy, enjoying some time with Anne. Yes, very exciting. I miss Italy. Went last summer.
Maybe I'll take a little picture of you when I go, and then I'll just have little Joy with me, and I'll take photos of you next to me. Yeah. And
what's that thing the kids do?
You'll be there in spirit.
What's the little...
There is something.
None of us up here have kids.
No.
This is perfect.
Like shelf on what comes up.
Someone tweeted it to me. It's a little guy.
Yeah, I'll bring a little
Joy.
You
put on a popsicle stick.
I will bring a little Joy with me.
It's a thing. It's a thing. You take it on vacation
and
then you bring it back. What is it called? Flat Stanley.
Hey.
That's what it is. Thank you. I'm like, somebody here has kids.
Yeah, I'll bring a Dr. Joy.
So bring a flat Dr. Joy.
I will.
To Italy.
Look, Joy. She's in Capri.
Alex Curry in with me all week for Colin. Thank you guys for joining us. I am a doctor now. Not a medical doctor.
I feel like you need to explain it every single time.
Yeah. I mean, well, because I'm not gonna go officially by doctor. I feel like, you know.
Are you gonna put it like in your bio?
Oh, 100%.
Oh, there we go.
No, it's a very big
deal.
It's
gonna be in your captions, on your social media, on your website.
Yes. I'm a doctor of humane letters. Thank you to Barry University for having me and listening to my speech, which I was very nervous to give. Maybe we'll play a clip. We could play a clip from that later in the show. There I am. That's me.
Dr. Joy.
Yeah, I'm going to post the whole speech eventually in the upcoming weeks. I worked very hard on it.
I think I was working while you were speaking, but like I saw like little clips here and there that people posted.
I worked very hard on it. I was very nervous.
It sounded great from
what
I heard.
Thank you. I thought it was important that I you know, send these students off into the next chapter of their life with some advice. Some good advice.
Yeah. You posted the good advice. That was good advice.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. But Miami was fun this weekend. I got in at 1 o'clock in the morning. So I'm on lots of caffeine right now.
Woo.
But Chris Paul had an incident. So Chris Paul's family had an incident with a fan last night. And he tweeted about it after the game. He said, "Want to fine players for saying stuff to the fans, but the fans can put their hands on our families. Bleep that." And Dave McMenamin followed up. He tweeted, a source familiar with Chris Paul's tweet after game four told ESPN that Paul's mother had hands put on her by Dallas fans, and Paul's wife was also pushed. To make matters worse, Paul's kids witnessed it. They felt very unsafe, the source said. We have a video of it. Chris Paul is coming, you know, trying to come after the fan who looks like a very young kid. I mean, who knows how old he is? Maybe he's over 18 or 21 or whatever. And the woman with him is clearly rushing him off. And honestly, it doesn't matter how young he is. If you're putting your hands on someone, there are consequences to that. So it's really irrelevant. But clearly, Chris Paul is visibly angry and trying to go after him. And listen, if you put your hands on my mama, good luck to you. I don't know. There's, you know, I'm probably going to try and send you to whatever maker you believe in. But so it's understandable. It's Mother's Day. Like, I mean, come on. Like, you got to have limitations here with what is allowed in these arenas. And I know everyone on Twitter wants to rush to, well, why are families there? It's playoff basketball. It's very simple. Keep your hands to yourself. It's not a complicated concept. There should be no excuse for people harassing people's families or anyone else for that matter. I don't understand where people get into this fake tough guy mode where they're entitled to touch other people. It does not end well. And the whole group of people, they're like, where's the video? I don't see a video. They must be lying. What does Chris Paul and his family have to gain from lying about a fan putting his hands on Chris Paul's mother and wife in front of his kids? What does he have to gain? When people come up with these crazy concepts, I'm like, please just boil it down to me. The one reason, the one positive, what is the win to Chris Paul's mother making that up? What? What on earth could what could possibly be the reason? What was the reason? It makes no sense. This is not that far-fetched that this would happen. It's nonsense. You believe there's nanobots in vaccines, but you won't believe an entitled kid will put his hands on someone at an NBA game? I mean, what are we supposed to do here with this concept? It's insane. I don't get it. We just watched this with Chappelle. People do get into their brains that they are capable of doing anything. You sit on the internet for long enough of your people tell you that you're Superman. You're going to mess around and find out. I just think that these arenas need to be more punitive with the actions. Colin and I talk about it all the time. Now, if you act up on a plane, you will get fined hundreds of thousands of dollars because you're putting other people around you in not just an inconvenient, but an unsafe environment. You're not just entitled to act however you want, wherever you want, around whoever you want, and do whatever you want to people. Whoever told you that lied to you. They're setting you up for extreme failure. I just gave advice to a bunch of people. Now I'm giving it again. Don't touch other people. It doesn't matter if you think you're tough. You're not. There are consequences to this. This is not the metaverse, okay? Take the goggles off. Real life, you can't touch other people. With that said, let's get to Ryan Hollins, Rockets TV analyst, former NBA center. Ryan, did you ever have an incident with your family at a game?
I did not. Thank goodness. And maybe for the fans' sake, because my wife Janice, she might be out there throwing a 1-2 yes. out there. You know, I might be on the back end, you know, trying to help the fan out. You know, that's what she's about. But in all seriousness, this is nothing to be played with. If someone touched my mother, if someone touched my mother-in-law, Connie, my wife, Janice, oh man, Chris is a good man. You know, he kept things in hand. And I think the message needs to be sent to fans. Players are people too. I know that there's an obsession with players. I know that's the fanatic, you know, nature behind the game, but this is not cool. Don't touch somebody's mother. You wouldn't want your mother touched. Don't touch a woman, whatever it needs to be. And if you are a fan that was sitting there watching and it becomes more than the game, jump in, you know, be the bigger person. We never want to see anything like this. And especially when it comes to mothers and daughters, and especially assume that every woman you see is somebody's mother, somebody's daughter, somebody's auntie. Okay. So just keep your hands off of women.
Yes. I mean, on Mother's Day, not on Mother's Day. We're not doing this on Mother's Day.
On Mother's Day. Oh,
on the Mother's Day, the day for the mothers. What was the worst place that you went when it came to fans being like a little bit over the line?
I think the playoff series that I had playing against Memphis, I loved it when I played for the Grizz, but playing against them for the Clippers, things would get rowdy in there. Oklahoma City would always turn up. I mean, it would get so loud you couldn't even hear yourself thinking there. I got a bit of Utah Jazz in their heyday. They were loud. They weren't really disrespectful. I remember playing for the Boston Celtics and some of those things that the fans said to LeBron James, I cannot repeat to this day. All right. It was mothers, daughters, it was children, you know, it was very, very against LeBron in there. And I loved it every moment of it. Not to the disrespect, but the passion that the Boston fans had. And obviously the Houston Rockets. Come on, man. Ain't no other fan base like the Houston Nation. Okay. Houston Rockets, Joy. We got to throw that out there. But there are a number of places. And the one thing you have to realize when you go into a playoff environment, it becomes war. And some people take it a little serious than that. Shoot, I played for the Mavericks. It was always turned up in there. So there are a couple places that definitely stand out, Joy.
Chuck and Ryan Hollins also has a podcast, The Opinionated Seven Footers, with Ryan Hollins and Brendan Haywood. You mentioned Utah and you mentioned Boston. Those are the two places that always get mentioned in the fans getting a little rowdy. And that's on the light side. So Jokic is going to win the MVP. Obviously, this is not a huge surprise. It was Jokic, Giannis, Embiid. Personally, I felt like it was Embiid. I don't understand why they wait until the postseason has started to announce this award. It takes a lot of the polish off of it to me, and it gets very confusing. Like, I can't unsee what I'm watching with Giannis. I can't unsee what I'm watching with Embiid. So even though Jokic had an incredible regular season and certainly is deserving of it, I mean, what is this? I know the postseason doesn't matter with it, but it's just hard to look at it the same way when you see what the results are against the best competition in the biggest moments, as you just said, in war. So do you think Jokic deserves to be the back-to-back MVP?
I understand it. I would have given it to Embiid, though. I think when it comes down to it, this award was splitting hairs. And the numbers, you can't deny the numbers that Nikola Jokic put up. I mean, he was a walking triple-double. He's the greatest passing center that we've ever seen play the game of basketball. And you can't deny his impact and what he was able to do with less. And we have another back-to-back MVP taking care of business. So congratulations to he and his family. But from covering the Houston Rockets this year and seeing Joel Embiid up front, and having, seen him on the court, he just was a different beast this year, Joy. I remember Kobe Bryant would walk into arenas and he had an aura around him. He had a different energy. I remember LeBron in his heyday. It was something different about him walking around. It was just an energy. I never played against Michael Jordan, but Michael had that aura. And this year, Joel Embiid was the bad boy. He was the guy who put it all together. He was a man amongst boys. And I'm talking about, I feel like we're seeing Joel Embiid in his prime. And the only question we always had, Joy, was what? Was he healthy? You know, was he going to be able to be on the floor in big moments? And we're seeing it this year. But I'm telling you, man, for a big fella that can put it on the deck, go bully ball you at the rim, go finesse you on the perimeter like a guard, Joel Embiid was in his absolute bag. I'm telling you, this man was unguardable this season. And seeing him up and close and personal and seeing Nikola Jokic, Joel Embiid was on one. Okay, he was different.
No, I agree. I thought that Embiid should have been the MVP. I'm not upset that it was Jokic, but I do think when you're looking at what he's doing in the postseason, when you look at where they finished with the sixth seed, the Nuggets are now nowhere to be found. It's just kind of hard to look at what Embiid's done and not say that, you know, this was his year to win the MVP. So speaking of that game last night, Harden had one of his vintage performances. I'm hoping for the Heat's sake that that's an outlier situation and he's not going to tie several of those type of performances together. But you can see what's happening when Embiid and Harden are on the floor together and the impact that they can have, especially when Harden is having one of his vintage performances like he did last night.
Joy, I honestly think what we're seeing from James Harden is something that's sustainable. James Harden, you got to understand, when he was in Houston with the Rockets, he could shoot his way into games and get hot in the third and fourth quarter and end up with, you know, 40, 35 points, you know, 15 assists, you know, 15 rebounds on a night. He doesn't have that luxury. And James Harden is a high IQ cerebral player. So he's going to run the plays. He's going to make sure that his big fella is getting set up. And you got to understand, he's still getting double and triple teamed on the perimeter. That's still a very bad man that is very much a part of the scouting report and getting two and three of your best defenders that he has to see each and every night. And I think it is sustainable. Joel Embiid didn't necessarily play his best, but James Harden came with it. And Joy, I don't think a lot of people are seeing the blessing in disguise. It is okay to lose two games on a road. You just have to take care of home. And the one thing that the Philadelphia 76ers did is they took care of home. But without Joel Embiid, you relied on Harden a little more. You relied on Tobias Harris a little more. You relied on Danny Green, who was absolutely balling and knocked down a huge four-point play in the game. So at the end of the day, you're looking at James Harden and saying, hey, man, maybe that's the spark that you needed and your big fella needs you because he's a little hobbled. But that's a dangerous 1-2 punch because I'm going to tell you this too. There's a lot more star power on Philadelphia's side than the Miami Heat. Miami Heat, they're tougher top to bottom. They're deeper, but they don't have the star power that Joel Embiid and James Harden bring to the table.
Well, let's talk about Luka, who is definitely a star as a bad boy. But is he enough to take down this Suns team? Because it looks like at moments when everyone else is contributing, it might happen.
Joy, they're not going to like what I'm going to say right now. All right. In my mind, I have all due respect for the Suns. I think they're the favorites if Devin Booker is healthy. But right now, I think there's a big disrespect being put together with the Dallas Mavericks. I think they're contenders for a championship. I think they're serious. I've been saying this when they were down 0-2. And the thing is, they defend under Coach Jason Kidd. They're one of the tops in the league on the defensive end of the floor. I think, and I believe in my heart, Luka Doncic is the best closer that we have in the NBA right now. If I had a final shot, I'm giving the ball to Luka Doncic. And ultimately, that's a dangerous combination because he can take games over. And then you look the battle behind the scenes from the great Jason Kidd, understands the nuances of the point guard position, and he went at Chris Paul. And he attacked Chris Paul, and Brunson went at him, and that young pup is a dog, man. He's a D-A-W-G. He's a real dog, okay? So I'm looking at that and saying, man, the Dallas Mavericks are for real. Now, ultimately, I've got none respect for the Suns. I think they do all the little things right under Coach Monty Williams, but we're going to have a dogfight here. I wish this was something we could be seeing in a Western Conference finals and not right now. I like the Warriors, but I'm thinking that the champion out of the West we're seeing from this matchup right here. And oof. I'm telling you, man, Luka different. I'm going with Uncle Luka. I mean, name me somebody else, Joy. Name me somebody else.
I mean, when he's rolling, it's tough. It really is. He's incredible. So the Celtics and Bucks play tonight. Milwaukee is up 2-1. You know, I feel like the Celtics are kind of a regular season team, but do you think they have a chance in this series?
Of course they have a chance. Their strength is in numbers. And the one thing that I've always known is that this generation of Celtics, this decade of Celtics, they're better when they defend, when they lock in. And they've gotten back to doing the hard work, the gritty work, the little things. And I mean, obviously, they don't have a matchup for Giannis Antetokounmpo. They would love to be on the other side playing the Miami Heat or playing anybody else, okay, in this situation. But Giannis Antetokounmpo is a bad man. They don't have a matchup for him. So to me, this series is on Giannis's shoulder. He's going to have to bring it. He's going to have to be a monster. You're going to have to see him from start to finish, not three quarters. He got to give us that fourth quarter, all right? He has to give us change for a dollar, Joy. He can't leave it short with 75 cents, all right? He got to go out and get busy. But I think this series lies solely on the shoulders of Giannis Antetokounmpo. I love Boston. Their strength is in numbers. You saw him wear down KD and Kyrie last time we talked, and you and Colin were there. We talked about that. But right now, if Giannis can bring it, I just don't think there's a matchup for him on the floor. And even without Middleton, and I think we can take our hats off and anoint Giannis in a different type of way as he continues to improve and do this without Middleton moving forward.
Oh, absolutely. He's been incredible. We're talking to Ryan Hollins, 10 NBA seasons, podcast, The Opinionated Seven Footers. And you spent some time in Memphis, and that series might be completely different now. We don't know what's going to happen with Ja Morant. Do you think that was a dirty play with Jordan Poole and Ja Morant? And does Memphis have a chance against the Warriors without him?
It was a dirty play. Absolutely. Was it a malicious play? No, I don't think Jordan Poole is on that. Sometimes things happen in the midst of a game. You don't grab a guy's knee. I don't think there's an accident to grabbing a guy's knee. I talked about it earlier with Doug Gottlieb this morning, and I just don't see the accident in that. Now, did he yank his knee? Did Ja Morant fall over after he grabbed him? No, that didn't happen. I think that Ja Morant is feeling the impact of that 47-piece nugget dinner that he placed on them in game two. And just the fatigue is real. He needs to use his teammates more. They got to play as a team. They're wearing down. I mean, this is a team that defended. They turned you over, and they got up and down all season long. And now you're starting to feel the impacts, and you're just praying that you get to see Ja Morant on the floor. But I think the Golden State Warriors, the wise Warriors, the intellectual Warriors, the experienced Warriors are going to have enough to last out, because you're just saying, hey, guys, we're going to get the game we need to get. We're not going to fight, try to win every single battle, but at the end of the day, we're going to win the war. So I do like the Warriors in this series. And if John Morant is out, whew, stick a fork in them, man. They may be done.
Do you feel like this postseason has been a little chippier than normal? Because it feels like the refs are allowing a little bit more animosity and tension to sort of fester. And that's why, to me, that's why these plays are happening. Because when you let people sort of wiggle on that line, somebody's going to go over it, whether they're a dirty player or not. I agree with you. I don't think Dylan Brooks is a dirty player. I don't think that Jordan Poole was a dirty player. But when you're playing this kind of, you know, it's playoff basketball and things start to get a little tense and it's a big moment, you know, people do things like this. So do you think it's been a little different this year?
Well, absolutely. You got to think in terms of Memphis and Golden State, these two teams met up last year. You know, Memphis is trying to let you know, I'm on call. We're for real. John Morant is here to stay. So that's a big element that we're seeing in that. And then anytime you got Draymond Green coming into the party, I'm a big Draymond fan. He's going to bring it. And Dylan Brooks is just being Dylan Brooks. So obviously the league looked to crack down. Dylan got a suspension. They're trying to clean things up. But these two teams are going to get after it. And there's something to prove, man. The Warriors are trying to show everybody, we don't need Kevin Durant to win the championship. You know, we don't say OGs that used to get it done a while ago, and we're going to run this thing back. So they're motivated, and John Morant's trying to let everybody know that they're here to stay. And I love the physical, aggressive nature that Taylor Jenkins has brought this year to his team. And they got a taste of playoff experience last year, and they're bringing it back this year. So I think that's what the playoffs are about. I think that's what we love to watch and see. Hopefully the Phoenix and Dallas series can clean up. But, you know, you got Chris Paul. Chris Paul kind of got Chris Pauled in his own way. You know, I hope the best for he and his family. I don't like to see what was behind the scenes. But, man, this is incredibly tough on the referees, because they watch film and they're always going behind the scenes and saying, man, what's best for the league? And how can we let the players show that they are doing their best job to be themselves while they're on the floor? You don't want to see a game that you point back to the referees about. You want to see the players being highlighted in these matchups.
Thank you so much for joining us. Check out Ryan's podcast, The Opinionated Seven Footers, with Ryan Hollins and Brendan Haywood, also Houston Rockets TV analysts. Like you sliding a little Houston love in there earlier. Thanks for coming on with us, Ryan.
Anytime, Joy. Keep up the good work. You're killing it.
Thank you. Always good to talk to Ryan Hollins. Yeah, the NBA playoffs have been fun. The first round was amazing, was really competitive, and we're getting a lot of old school play, a little rivalry, a little tension. And, you know, I don't like the dirty plays, but I do think that it's nice to see a little
spicy.
Yeah.
It's spicy.
Let's get a little.
I like it.
A little seasoning on there.
Yeah.
That's all we need. We'll come back with Alex Curry in the news, a little bit about Pete Carroll and his quarterback situation. Joy Taylor and Alex Curry in for Colin Cowherd on The Herd.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient. I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
USFL action continues all weekend on Fox. Saturday at 3 Eastern, the New Orleans Breakers take on the New Jersey Generals. And Sunday at 4, the Pittsburgh Maulers square off against the Houston Gamblers. Enjoy. Your Maulers need some of that that Dr. Juice over there. Dr. Joy.
That Dr. Joy juice? That's good.
That's Dr. Joy juice.
I came up with that first.
Help them.
Yeah, I don't know. Maulers are down bad. They're the only remaining winless team at 0-4. But the Gamblers and the Breakers, this Kyle Sloter, he threw a 29-yard game-winning touchdown pass. We're showing it here to Jonathan Adams with 10 seconds remaining. Blop.
Just go plop.
Right in there, yep. He blopped it in there.
That was great.
He is leading the USFL in passing, the only player with 1,000-plus passing yards. Incredible catch. The Breakers have the number one total offense, number one total defense this season. They beat the Gamblers 23-16. But, yeah, that's a – yeah, blop isn't very good.
I understood what you were saying.
Blop is not good. Bloop.
Bloop. That's better. Way better.
No more energy. Yes, but congrats to the Breakers. Another big win and big moment there for the USFL. Man, my Maulers will get it together eventually. Let's get to Alex Curry with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, the Seahawks seem pretty set on going into next season with Drew Lock as their quarterback. Pete Carroll has said many times that they do not plan on adding anyone else to that position, and he reiterated his confidence in Locke, saying he would have been the top quarterback if he was part of this year's draft.
I think he'd been the first guy picked, of the quarterbacks anyway. He'd have been the first guy in this draft. I don't have any hesitation saying that. And the first look at Drew, he's really athletic. He's a confident athlete. You know, you can see he's got a lot of body control. He's got quick feet. He's got a quick arm, various ways that he can release the football as his body's in different positions. He's got a real knack there, and he's got a strong arm. He can throw the ball a mile down the field.
What are you trying to say here? That he would have been a star among college quarterbacks going in the draft?
Yeah, I think this was obviously not the strongest quarterback draft, as we know. Kenny Pickett was the only quarterback taken in the first round, and Malik Willis fell to the third round. So I think he's saying if they were to draft a quarterback this year, he would have been the first quarterback taken.
Yeah, but
so,
he's
like, that's not a massive compliment considering the quarterback talent this year. But I mean, it also speaks to, like, we're not going to reach beyond what we're doing this year.
Yeah.
Drew Lock obviously has raw talent, right? He wouldn't be in the league if he didn't.
Yeah.
He is not very refined. He is not very accurate. And there is a reason why Teddy Bridgewater was in Denver and why Drew Lock is now in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not where he needs to be. Now, I don't think that the Seahawks are fooling anyone this season.
Like, no.
They are working towards next year.
Definitely.
Which there are supposed to be a huge haul of top-level quarterbacks in next year's draft. I think a lot of these teams are setting themselves up for next year. I think Carolina is doing that. I think the New York Giants are doing that. I think the Seattle Seahawks are doing that. And there's possibly even Houston. So there are teams that are like, look, we don't have the guy at quarterback, but we're not going to sell the farm to try and get someone that we don't think is going to elevate us past that level. There's really no one on the market. It's Jimmy Garoppolo and it's Baker Mayfield. Jimmy Garoppolo, I think a lot of people feel, has had the success he's had because of the roster that they've had in San Francisco and Kyle Shanahan. I think that's fair. Baker Mayfield hasn't really had that much success. He's won one playoff game. So, you know, I think that it's actually smart. I like that these teams aren't being really desperate. Yes, you have to have the guy, but the guy can only do so much. If you don't have an offensive line, if you have a terrible defense, which Seattle obviously needs to focus on right now, I'm okay with it. I don't think you need to be desperate and make up moves and give up pieces that you cannot afford to give up if you're Seattle.
No, it's just obvious they're going to run it with Drew Lock.
Yeah.
He's been in the NFL for 3 seasons. We've seen what he is capable of. We know he's not going to transform your franchise.
Correct.
He's going to get the job done.
No, I think it's a soft tank.
I don't know.
But I'm okay with it.
I don't know. Only time will tell. Well, let's move to another team. The Eagles still may not be sold on Jalen Hurts as their long-term quarterback. He is reportedly getting a one-year audition with the team this season. Philly wants to see him prove himself following the addition of A.J. Brown alongside Devontae Smith. They believe he has improved since getting to the NFL, but as we just said, the 2023 draft class is very strong at quarterback, and the Eagles want to be confident that they already have their guy. Now, the good thing for Hurts is that he is friends with A.J. Brown, so hopefully there's going to be some extra chemistry there. But I don't think this is an out-of-the-world plan. This is a business. This is going to be his third season in the NFL, and it's a business. You got to prove yourself. And if you're great and you can prove yourself, this is not a big deal. Just a little bit of pressure.
No,
show
I mean,
us you're the guy.
He's still in that range where he should be proving himself. I don't think it's a desperate situation for Philadelphia either. I like Jalen a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He obviously has some areas of his game that he needs to refine. But if you have someone like Jalen who clearly has talent
and potential,
is obviously able to move around very well, is a leader and a good face of the organization, obviously. He's the guy right now.
Yeah.
And he's dealt with having some uncertainty around his position very well. Why on earth would you move off of Jalen Hurts? In fact, do what you should do, which is give him all the help he could possibly need. And then if he doesn't succeed, then if he doesn't excel, if he doesn't elevate the team past where they should be, then you know he's not the guy. This is what you should be doing. I was very impressed with Philadelphia last year. I thought they were going to be terrible, and they were not. So they deserve all the credit because things looked very dysfunctional there for a little while.
Yeah.
They've done a really good job. I like Jalen Hurts a lot. Mm-hmm. I think the A.J. Brown addition is huge for them.
Huge.
I think they're the best in the division right now. I'm out on the Cowboys.
There you go.
I'm done. But I thought they lost
a tough offseason.
They lost a lot of production and talent and did not replace it. And I'm also just done believing that they're going to be anything other than what they've always been. I love Dak Prescott. Huge fan.
Mm-hmm.
But the Cowboys have won three. Yeah, they're not.
It's a crazy stat.
They've won three playoff games in 25 years.
That's crazy.
And somehow every single year we get convinced that they are a Super Bowl contender. They're not. I actually think
America's
this is
team.
Yeah,
they
I'm done with
the
them.
Hype.
Here's the thing about me, Alex. You know I'm petty.
I know. I love it.
If you're not my team and I go all in on you and you fail me, I'm not doing it again. I'm, you know, whatever. I'm just exposing myself as a personality right now. That's what it is. And I think it's fair also because factually, it was a terrible ending to their season.
It was.
And they had more than enough talent to get it done. So
I forgot about the ending to their season until just this moment.
I'm talking so hard my bun is falling out. Let me hold my neck still.
There you go.
I think the Eagles will win that division.
All right. Let's switch gears because things are looking up for the 76ers. Joel Embiid returned to the lineup in game 3 and James Harden had his best performance of the series in game 4 as Philly even things up with Miami at 2 games apiece. And Harden feels like the team is finally hitting their stride.
We're getting more confident, you know, as the series goes on. You know what I mean? Like those first 2 games was a blur. But obviously having Joe and having our full team, you know, we kind of know what to expect. We know where to execute on both ends of the ball. You know, it just makes the job a lot easier. You know, think about it, we're still a fairly new team. You know what I mean? We're down to 2 months in. So, you know, when we finally catch a rhythm and finally find something that works, you know, Joe goes out for a couple games. So we're finally settling into the series, and we found some great things that'll work tonight and that we can, you know, capitalize off of game five.
James, very good at staying focused on the microphone.
That was great, though, but that was kind of like encompassing of the series. It was like James was kind of holding it together, and then Embiid comes in, and the confidence just comes back for the entire team.
There was a lot going on there.
There was a lot going on.
I'm very easily distracted. So that was impressive. No, he is right, actually.
Yeah.
He has not been there all season, and they haven't had a lot of time to try out a lot of new things. They were dealing with injuries with Joel Embiid, and still are for that matter. And, you know, it's maybe taken him a little time to get adjusted in the groove as well. I do think he's right about that. They're getting more confident, and they're getting more into their identity as the playoffs go on and as the season goes on for them. So, I mean, I agree. I don't think, I'm hoping, praying that the Heat don't shoot 20% from three for the rest of the series. And they do have home court advantage, but look, the Sixers are impressive. I've been saying this all year.
Great.
It's not surprising to me that this is an even series. And obviously Joel Embiid being out was massive. And I think it further proves my point that he's the MVP. But I like what the Sixers have done this year. I think that if James Harden can put together multiple performances like this, they're going to be a really, really tough out.
Yeah.
And they should feel good about that. Like, build a complete team. If you have everyone healthy. And he was playing different. You could see
it.
That's the thing. In his energy.
You could
last
see with
night.
Both of them in there.
Yes.
On the court, it's a completely different team. You could see the confidence, especially with Harden having the fourth quarter that he did.
Yeah.
The most important part. Best game of his series. And yeah.
For
the
sure.
The confidence, the chemistry is building. It takes time. And if it's happening right here in the playoffs, why not?
That's when you would want it to happen. That's when you would want it to happen. But yeah, he has not been there for the entire season. So it's not surprising that things are starting to click now. It's just unfortunate for the Heat.
Oh.
But we'll see what adjustments they make. That's Alex Curry with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
Well, Jordan Poole and Ja Morant. Was it a dirty play? Did he get injured on that play? There's a lot of questions. Do they have a chance without Ja Morant in this series? Is he going to play in the next game? A lot of questions surrounding this. We'll talk to Megan Triplett, reporter for the Memphis Grizzlies, coming up next. Joy Taylor and Alex Curry in for Colin Cowherd on The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Herd. Joy Taylor in for Colin Cowherd all week as he is exploring Italy, enjoying some time with his wife, Anne, some time off. Alongside Alex Curry, so we should have a fun week for you. It's been a fun show. Thanks to Antoine Walker for stopping by. Ryan Hollins, it's been an amazing NBA playoffs. It's been a little tense, a little spicy. Animosity, a little spicy.
I love it.
Extra seasoning. In this year's postseason, loved the first round. Was really fun. Was one of the more competitive first rounds that we've seen in a while. And now that we're into the second round,
that's what I'm thinking. A little spicy, a little salt bay. Spicy salt.
But not as expensive. Have you been to the Salt Bay restaurant?
No,
I have. I went to the one in Miami when he like first brought it there, and it was
went
like
viral.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's not the cheapest place I've ever been.
Oh no, can't imagine.
It's not particularly affordable.
Okay.
But he did come around and drop the salt on the meat. So that did happen. Yeah, no, he did. No, he was there. Like, he came by.
That's his thing.
He came by and salted
table?
Our meats. Yes. With the salt.
Oh, gosh.
It went down.
What
you
a
know?
Thing to be famous for.
Listen.
What a thing.
People are famous for less.
Yeah.
He did actually have restaurants before that happened. But yes, yeah. That's isn't that what it is now?
The salt
I'm like,
guy?
What can I do? What
to
can,
go viral?
What can I do to like
Dr. Joy.
Sprinkle something?
Go viral.
Yeah, just start giving random advice to people.
Yeah. The doctor.
It's not the worst idea. I've done a lot. I've had a lot of life experiences.
Oh, yeah.
Well, anyway, this postseason's been nuts. And Jordan Poole grabbed Ja Morant's knee. And now there's questions of whether he's going to be able to play. It could completely change the series. There's a debate about whether it was dirty or not. I don't think he's a dirty player, Jordan Poole, but I do think you can have a dirty play and not be a dirty player. The two are not mutually exclusive. And here was Taylor Jenkins after game three on Jordan Poole's knee grab on Ja Morant.
Coach, when you say Jordan grabbed his knee and yanked it, are you saying he did it on accident, on purpose? Was he trying
watch
to watch
the
ball?
Film? I don't know.
Oh, you know.
I'm saying that happened. It triggered it.
Okay. But are you saying – I'm asking –
I don't
are
know
you
what
saying that he did it on
head.
Purpose or accident?
No, I didn't say that it went on purpose. I said the play
no,
happened.
No, no. Which one is it?
There was a grab. I'm just curious what happened.
Look, I mean, it's understandable that he is angry. And Ja Morant tweeted the video of it and then deleted it, saying the code. And, you know, there's a big conversation now about if these plays are on purpose. I again think that if it's overwhelmingly the chances that you're going to hurt someone if you do it, then it's a dirty play. Whether you're a dirty player or not is up for debate after that, but you can't argue that it's not a dirty play if there's a good chance that someone's going to get hurt if you do it. Let's go out to Megan Triplett, Grizzlies reporter, Grind City Media. Hi, Megan. Thanks so much for joining us today.
What's up, Joy? Thanks for having me.
I see you're in gear and ready to go. We were just talking about the Ja Morant Jordan Poole incident. What's the latest on his injury? Is he going to have a chance to return the series? How serious is it?
For Ja Morant, from what we've been told from the team and from the injury report, is that he's listed as doubtful for tonight's game. The team is going to go through shoot around in a couple of minutes, actually, for tonight's game in San Francisco at Chase Center. And so we'll probably know more closer to game time. Coach Higgins is usually very, very tight on when it comes to it. I would imagine that Ja would be a game time decision. Ja is known to go out there and warm up around the 45-minute mark, and that's kind of when we'll probably know a little bit more about Ja Morant and his availability for tonight.
Well, they went 20-5 without Ja in the regular season. Obviously, the postseason is a different season. Do they have a chance in this series without him?
From what we've seen the regular season, I feel like you have to say yes, they have a chance, because this team, the mentality of this group has always been to have each other's back. And it's kind of like that next man up mentality. And from what we've seen, whether it be Ja Morant, Dylan Brooks has been out of the lineup. And throughout the pandemic, we've seen a lot of guys being health and safety protocols, but they time and time again have proven themselves. Yes, we know that Ja Morant is that guy, especially when you look at this series. He's averaging over 38 points per game in this series so far. But when you think about Tyus Jones coming in for Ja Morant, if that's the case, then Tyus has also been that point guard. He is one of the most underrated point guards in the league. And, you know, the message around Tyus Jones has always been that Tyus could be starting if he was on any other team across this league. So this team has proven it. Ja is a huge factor, but I have faith in this Grizzlies group.
We're talking to Megan Triplett, Grizzlies reporter, Joy Taylor in for Colin Cowherd. What's the Grizzlies players' reaction to Ja getting hurt? Is there a consensus that this was a dirty play? It was intentional?
That word has not been used. I think the team is trying to get away from that narrative. From what Tyus Jones even said, he called it an interesting play. I kind of like how he used that word. And Tyus even said, he was like, I don't think there's a dirty player in this entire series. Now, you're watching these two teams who had one of the top five defenses in the regular season. It's going to be a competitive basketball game. Tyus and Xavier Tillman Sr. yesterday after practice said that Ja's spirits are up. He's good. The team hates that Ja is dealing with this and that he's hurt. They want him to be back. But for them, it's just that next man up.
What's been the local fan reaction? Obviously, players might have a little bit of a different agenda and not saying that it's a dirty play, but what's been the local reaction to this incident?
I mean, locally, Joy, I'm from Memphis, so like I get it. And this series has been so competitive. And when you see a guy get hurt in a game where it's already been very, very physical, local reactions, fans' reaction, they're going to have 12's back. Just like 12 has had our city's back and he's always represented Memphis so well, they're going to have his back and they're going to support Ja Morant. They just don't want to see their point guard get hurt. They're a little upset about it. You know, we have a game 5 here at FedEx Forum, and all the conversation that's been about, oh, Chase Center is a hard place to play. Just wait, because FedEx Forum gets loud. Our growl towels will be out, but they have Ja Morant's back, and they just want to see Ja Morant back out there. I know that the Twitter and social media has been a crazy, crazy place in these last couple of days of Warriors fans versus Grizzlies fans, but it's playoff basketball, and that's kind of what makes playoff basketball. But if I had to say, fans aren't happy with everything. They didn't like seeing that play, and they didn't like seeing 12 walk into the locker room with that limp.
Well, what was the reaction to the Dylan Brooks, Gary Payton situation?
About the same, in the sense of the issue is just the narrative around that play. And like, we all know Dylan Brooks. I've been in the locker room with Dylan Brooks. It's just kind of what Jenkins said. There is no dirty player in that Grizzlies locker room. The culture that the Grizzlies have represented these last couple of years, it's always in a positive. They play hard and they're going to support Dylan Brooks. Dylan Brooks was at a hard foul, yes. And as Coach Jenkins called it, you know, it doesn't represent Dylan Brooks in the best light, but you hate to see a player get hurt. especially Gary Payton II for like what he's gone through, what he's been through. But, you know, for Dylan, we support Dylan just in a sense. And like, even with what happened with the league and them resulting in a flagrant two and then him not being able to play in that game three, it's just, we hated it, but we're going to have Dylan Brooks back just like anybody else too.
We're talking to Megan Triplett, Grizzlies reporter. So Taylor Jenkins, you just mentioned him, is a head coach, is a coach of the year finalist, kind of goes under the radar. Why is he such a good fit for this team, and what kind of energy has he brought to this organization?
Coach Jenkins, and from what I've seen, I've been here 3 years, the same amount of years that Jenkins has been around this group, and Jenkins just represents the city of Memphis so well. And you think about Jenkins, Coach Jenkins is a young coach. The guys trust him. They support him. He gets the city. He gets this locker room. And it's a very open dialogue type of locker room. The players feel comfortable talking to Coach Jenkins. Coach Jenkins feels comfortable talking to the players. They're just so – it's a tight-knit group that I feel like you don't see as often. And with him being, I think, in that younger age bracket of some coaches around the league, he just fits into this group so well. And even from like interviewing and from what he does throughout the community, the players see that he's been such a great representative of the city of Memphis and the Grizzlies locker room.
Well, I'm really looking forward to this game tonight. I think this series has been very, very old school and fun. The whole postseason has really been exciting. It's been one of the best ones I can remember, especially the first round, and all that energy is carried into the second. So looking forward to it tonight. Thanks so much for stopping by, Megan.
Thanks so much, Joy.
It's Megan Triplett, Grizzlies reporter, and she is right. That that building is going to be rocking for game five, no matter how this series goes. I hope that Ja is able to play. I mean, I agree with her. I don't think that there are dirty players in the series, but you can have dirty plays. And when things get tense and it's the postseason and there's drama and tension and loud crowds, people can step over the line. I think you can have a dirty play with not the intention of it being of hurting someone, but when it hurts someone, like, that's what happens. Like, that's the risk that you're taking in participating in a dirty play, even if you're not a dirty player. So I don't know what the league's going to do. I mean, the Dylan Brooks thing kind of set a precedent, as I think it was Ryan that said it, that now the league is in a situation where you chose to suspend Dylan. So what do you do with the rest of these plays as they go throughout the postseason? Joy Taylor and Alex Curry in for Colin Cowherd all week. Antoine Walker, Ryan Hollins, and Megan Triplett with us already today. We'll talk to Josina Anderson. She had a very interesting report about the Browns and how the NFL is treating the Browns because of the Deshaun Watson contract. But coming up next, we'll talk about the MVP, Nikola Jokic, and James Harden. Vintage performance last night against my Heat.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. we dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.